Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heat, and Cooling and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. D-Mace, Willie Donick, welcome back. How we doing, everybody? Happy Friday.
Hey, happy rainy Friday.
Rainy
hey guys,
Friday.
Good to be back rainy home.
Friday. Happy to have you back in studio.
Yes, Willie.
We've got a great weekend of sports. Women's Final Four starts tonight. Men's
Boom.
Final Four tomorrow
night. Wow.
LSU-Tennessee baseball, which has been a very heated weekend in my household.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Vanderbilt hosts Georgia if they can get it in. They actually moved the game up to 4:30 this afternoon because the weather's supposed to get really rough overnight.
Yeah.
You know, just keep your eyes open tonight because it could be some bad stuff overnight. But they're trying to catch a window where they can get the games in. Vanderbilt 6-0 to start the SEC season. Swept Mississippi and Mississippi State. So SEC baseball coming together, and that LSU-Vanderbilt rivalry has just turned up a little bit, too.
Heating up.
To go with the Vanderbilt-Tennessee rivalry. So,
six
it's going to be good.
SEC teams in the top 10 in college baseball.
Wow.
It's far and beyond the best conference in college baseball. It seems like every single weekend, every single matchup is going to be good.
It just means more.
We've got to ask.
How are the Sparties on the baseball diamond?
I can't tell you.
They're not bad.
We've got Ask D-Mace at 12:30, so make sure to get those questions in for D-Mace. The best question for D-Mace will win a pretty great prize, which we will reveal later on in the show. But I want to start with this, because I was a little bit shocked when I heard this. So Bucky Brooks hosts the Move the Sticks podcast on the NFL Network. Of course, Bucky Brooks, NFL insider. He's got a great pulse on the rest of the NFL. He hosted Daniel Jeremiah on the Move the Sticks podcast. Of course, Daniel Jeremiah, NFL draft analyst, to kind of get his thoughts on the NFL draft. He just put out a mock draft, what he thinks is going to be the most likely thing to happen in the NFL draft come April. And then we're talking about that number three spot. So we know that Carolina has traded up for the number one overall spot. Carolina can still re-deal that number one pick, but I wouldn't be surprised if they just stay in that number one pick, get their quarterback of the future. And then Houston takes at number two, Arizona at three, Indianapolis at four. Arizona sitting at three, not needing a quarterback, is kind of an interesting pick. And it makes it even more interesting being in this city. Because Daniel Jeremiah broke down what he thinks Arizona could do with that number three overall spot. This was Daniel Jeremiah on the Move the Sticks podcast.
At three, do you believe when it's all said and done, and we neither one of us do trades at this point in time, that does Arizona make that pick?
They're open for business. Somebody jumps up there and they make a pick. It's not going to be the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I'll be shocked if the Arizona Cardinals take a player at the third position.
Can I give you the team that I've been told to keep an eye on that's exploring this and looking into this? Again, this is just people around the league who said do not sleep on numero 11, the Tennessee Titans.
Ooh.
The two teams to keep an eye on were the trade-ups were the Raiders and the Titans.
Okay. All right.
D-Mace, your thoughts.
Nick, I wish we can go, well, we can, but we just didn't set it up in that way right today. But haven't I been saying this for the last month and a half? It's like, man, call me Nostradamus. I mean, just say it. Just call me that. Even though it may not happen, but this is, it seems like more and more because, and we talked about this yesterday, because of what the Titans aren't saying about their quarterback, because what Vrabel did say, I'm not committing to anything right now. Basically, I've already been burned once by committing, and throwing down a gauntlet and saying this is what I want to happen or this is what's going to happen. And we all saw it in real time with A.J. Brown. That was the one guy that, if you want to throw Jeffrey Simmons in there and Ben Jones in there, but that was one guy that he stood on a heel for. Like, A.J. Brown was his guy. And what happened? He got burned. So he's like, listen, I'm not committing like I did last year because I don't want to get burned again for whatever reason. So it's what the Titans aren't saying, but also what they are saying in regards to the quarterback. And I specifically said, watch the Titans at number 11. Because if they like, the more and more Anthony Richardson moves up in the draft, the more and more the Titans think about moving up in the draft as well. Because for a while, it was just Shroud and Bryce Young, maybe Will Levis. But now, after we've went through the combine and pro days, mm-hmm. Now Richardson has leaped over Levis, and now it's a four quarterback race, really two when you're talking about the first two picks. But that third pick and that fourth pick are going to be critical. And the Titans are in a position at number 11. They told when they went and got Andre Dillard, that should have told everybody they may not be getting a left tackle in this year's draft because they feel he's a first round talent. He just, for whatever reason, he can get an opportunity, but they see him as a first round talent, a guy that can be a starter for this team. So you X that out of things the Titans need. They're not drafting a receiver that high. They're just not doing it.
No.
There's no receiver. Exactly. There's no receiver in this year's draft that needs to be drafted higher than, 11 or higher. So you can X that out. So as I've been saying, watch the Titans at 11. They're not trying to move up to number one because it costs too much. But if they can move up within that top five and it's not going to cost them a lot, or they don't have to give up the farm, they're going to try to maneuver themselves to do it.
Who are they zeroing in on in your mind? That's the question I have.
I think it's – I truly think it's between Will Levis and Anthony Richardson. Because I think in their mind, they're not going to get C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young because they're going to be gone.
Yeah.
1-3 or 1-2, however it shakes out. But Will Levis and Anthony Richardson, the more and more Anthony Richardson rises in the draft – the more and more the Titans sit back and think, is there a possibility that we can move up from 11 to 5 or 4, somewhere around there? Because we could just swap picks and maybe we give them a second rounder next year. But it's not like we got to give up the farm to move that high.
It's unbelievable how the quarterbacks every year move up and up and up, and it just gets so enticing. So I go back to the same thing. Where would you have this guy if he wasn't a quarterback and you didn't, want to reach for the quarterback? There's going to be quarterbacks every year. How patient do you want to be? Or is this the guy that is so special in your mind that it's worth what it's going to take to go get him? You're going to have to give up something to move up, even the 8 spots or whatever.
No, you're right. But my whole thing is it costs too much to move up to 1 or 2. It just costs too much. And the Titans are not willing to give that up.
And I don't even think the Texans are in the market.
Exactly.
They're getting their quarterback.
Exactly. But it's not going to cost as much to move up from 11 to 5 or 4 or 3. We swap first round picks. And maybe more than likely, I got to give you my second for next year.
And probably first for next year.
It may not even take a first for next year.
You don't think?
Because all depends on if Arizona is the team that they are trying to facilitate this trade with, the Titans got to think, even if Arizona moves at 11, they still may get their guy. Mm-hmm. It's not like moving from 11 to 1. You're moving from 11 to possibly 3. Arizona potentially can still get their guy, whoever that is. They probably got 2 or 3 guys that they can take in the first round. They can still get their guy at 11. So to me, it's a swapping of the picks. It's a second rounder next year. And you might have to throw in, a third or fourth. But it's not going to cost as much for me to move up. What would that be? 6 spots somewhere around there? My math? Am I doing my math right?
8
spots. Uh-huh. It's not going to cost you as much to move up 8 spots unless there's other teams that want to move to that third spot. I don't think there's a team in between 3 and 11 that needs a quarterback right now.
Indianapolis.
Yeah, but one of the Indianapolis, I don't think going to move. They're not going to move because they feel they'll still be able to get one of the quarterbacks that they like.
They're going to have – if Indianapolis does stay at 4, mm-hmm. Indianapolis is going to have to be okay with C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, Anthony Richardson, and Will Levis, mm-hmm. because it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility that those that there are three quarterbacks out of those four that are taken 1, 2, 3, mm-hmm. and Indianapolis is left with just what's left. So Indianapolis would have to be okay at 4. My question is, let's say you're Rand Carthon. Do you do it?
If you believe...
For what? Yeah. Exactly.
But Willie said this, I think you might have said it on Caroline, or Willie. But if you believe that guy is the guy and you can get him, then you give up what you need to give up to move up in the draft.
I see that. I see that. But there have been many tales of woe of people who thought they got the guy.
Yeah. But right? it's a crapshoot.
This is our guy. We got to go get him.
Shoot. Yeah.
And then he doesn't turn out to be a guy.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's a crapshoot. I mean, you can be the San Francisco 49ers where you sell a farm and – now you're hoping and praying that
Trey Lance,
you know, Trey Lance is the guy.
Is
you
he
know?
The guy?
And if he's not the guy, then at least the 49ers lucked out with the last pick yeah. in the draft with Brock Purdy. But this was a point that Paul Kaharski was making on Robbie and Rex Road earlier this week. Mm-hmm. He was like, so many teams strike out on quarterbacks in the draft. So many teams who may have struck out in the draft also go for it trying to find a quarterback in free agency. Look at the Browns, for example. They draft Baker Mayfield first overall, didn't work out. They sell the farm for Deshaun Watson, then he's suspended for almost the entirety of the 2022 season. And if I'm going to bet on it, I would bet mm-hmm. against Deshaun Watson working out in Cleveland. There are so many teams that try time after time and season after season, the Colts, mm-hmm. to find that quarterback of the future. But it just doesn't work out. But you can't stop trying for it. So if the Titans go for their quarterback of the future and it doesn't work out, then somebody's probably losing their job, unfortunately. But you can't stop trying.
It's just like love. I mean, just because it fails
really
one or two times,
teammates.
Yeah, that means that it doesn't mean you can't stop trying to find love just because it didn't work out with you, you know, the two or three times previous. I mean, you're going to continue, you know, I think as humans, we continue to look for love. So it's not going to stop you from looking for love. It's just like the quarterbacks. Just because you may not find it, that doesn't mean you're not going to stop looking for it. And we got to understand, we got to look at it from this standpoint. When we draft, when teams draft a quarterback, what deems that quarterback not successful? Is it because a lot of times we deem that quarterback not successful if he's drafted that high and they don't get to a Super Bowl? But what if the quarterback's good? He's been good as we look at Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford was number one pick in the draft. He was good for the Detroit Lions mm-hmm. his whole career. He did exactly what he put up the numbers. He did everything. But for whatever reason, they couldn't get over the hump.
Dan Marino. He never won a
so
Super Bowl.
So what what is the measuring stick for a first-round quarterback? Is it Super Bowl or bust? Or is it, you got to get the teams to playoffs? If that's the case, then a lot of teams have hit on a lot of quarterbacks because they have gotten them to the playoffs.
I think it'd be Super Bowl or bust.
Yeah.
When you're going, trade those picks and you trade what it takes to go from 11-3, it's Super Bowl or bust. Mm. But coming up next, let's get into what the Titans realistically probably would have to give up in order to get to that third overall spot. Is it feasible? And also, what would the Titans be leveraging for the future or this year? What would this year look like if the Titans went for it for the quarterback of the future? We'll get into that coming up next. And of course, your thoughts as well. Bucky Brooks and Daniel Jeremiah say Titans could be in play for the third overall pick. Very interesting. Your thoughts, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline Willie DeMays, 1025-1063, the game.
I haven't heard a lot of buzz about Tennessee at 11. That would be an interesting one.
Tennessee to 3. And so a couple things we could talk about with the Tennessee Titans going up. New general manager,
yep.
Rand Carthon, working with Mike Vrabel. If this was the move, it tells you everything that you need to know about how they felt about their third-round pick, Malik Willis. If you didn't know, based on how they brought Josh Dobbs in, put him at the end of the season, and started him in a game that was to determine whether they're going to the playoffs, it tells you right there they are in the quarterback market, even though they have Ryan Tannehill in tow. And so, yes, that would be – not necessarily a big surprise, but it would signal something. And depending upon which quarterback they ultimately selected, speak volumes about how they want this franchise to shift or pivot based on what they're doing with Derrick Henry, maybe nearing the end of his run with the team.
That was Bucky Brooks on the Move the Sticks podcast with Daniel Jeremiah. And Daniel Jeremiah said the Titans could be in play to trade up to the third overall pick. And I think that if the Titans did decide to do that, that signals a major shift in the organization. It signals, you know, we're building for the future. And I want to get into exactly what that would mean for the Titans, both what they would have to give up, what the team would look like. But I also want to remind everyone that the Sounds, unfortunately, have postponed their game tonight. They'll play a doubleheader tomorrow, but it looks like there's some pretty nasty weather coming through tonight. So everyone stay safe. Just got an abundance of caution. Sad that opening day will be postponed. But two games tomorrow at First Horizon Park.
Also, with this Jeremiah clip, I will take this moment to insert my question that I always ask when I hear something like this. What does he know? Is he just, as a football mind, and he's a good one, is he just putting two and two together from the outside saying, hey, this could be a fit, this could be something they would look at, or does he have information coming from somebody within the Titans circle? That's what we don't know.
Fair question.
I always ask that question because we love these clips because it gives us some good stuff to chew on, right? And we're going to be doing this for the next couple months all the way through the draft until they decide what they're doing, until that pick is made. They got options, right? It's fun. That's what's compelling about the draft. But I always take with a grain of salt when somebody says that on a podcast, they're taking up time just like we are. So what does he know? I don't know the answer.
Well, let's go back to what Daniel Jeremiah initially said. So if we can pick his words apart and see if he's telling us or if he's speculating. This was
at
Daniel
three,
Jeremiah.
Do you believe when it's all said and done, and we neither one of us do trades at this point in time, that does Arizona make that pick?
They're all open for business. Somebody jumps up there and they make a pick. It's not going to be the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I'll be shocked if the Arizona Cardinals take a player at the third position.
Can I give you the team that I've been told to keep an eye on that's exploring this and looking into this? Again, this is just people around the league who said do not sleep on numero 11, the Tennessee Titans.
Ooh.
The two teams to keep an eye on were the trade-ups were the Raiders and the Titans.
Okay, so people, period.
Yeah.
Sounds told.
Like. Plural.
Was told. So and somebody is telling him. So we don't know who, but somebody.
Don't know what the sources are. Mm-hmm. It could be someone from the Arizona Cardinals organization. It could be someone within the Titans organization. It could be buzz around the NFL. And also, let's point out, too, this isn't what the Titans are going to do. This is what at least is on the table that the Titans are exploring. But I think that enough is it speaks volumes. But let's also remember, who's the GM of the Arizona Cardinals? Monty Austenfort.
Yep.
Who came from the Tennessee Titans. So he has a lot of ties and a lot of relationships within that building. And it would be, and not that any other GM in the league that doesn't have ties to Monty Austenfort can't also make this move, but it makes it a little bit easier when you
absolutely
have that underlying
relationship. I really do believe that that is a factor. Just your relationships does, I think, increase the percentages. I have nothing to prove this in terms of statistics, but it's just logical, right? You think about your fantasy league, right? Mm-hmm. They're probably, if you know, like somebody brings you into their fantasy league, there's 12 people in the league. You got three or four people that you know real well. Then you got three or four people in the league you don't know very well. Who are you more likely to make a trade with during your fantasy league? Your buddies, right? The people you're at work with every day or you talk to in your everyday life. The four people you don't know, you may not even have their phone number. Right, I know that's not the case in the NFL, but you see what I'm saying.
Same
look
idea.
Look at the Predators and the moves that they've made. You can look a lot of times. Some people that have come up through the David Poyle family tree, he's made deals with almost all of them as they moved on. Tom Fitzgerald of the Devils, Ray Shiro, when he was with the Devils and the Penguins. I mean, they deal with each other, right? They believe in one another. They trust one another. They're not getting screwed over by the other guy. So I do think that is something to note, right? That Arizona is now run by a guy that was in the Titans family for a while.
And they have close relationships.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, he could feel, I mean, it could be good and bad in a situation like this because he could feel, y'all passed me over for GM. He could feel that way and not necessarily, you know, because you try to put, when you're doing, you know, business, you try to put your personal feelings aside and try to do what's best for your company or the franchise or whatnot, and not necessarily personal, doing what you feel personally is best, but what's best for the organization. Yes, that would be, as we look at it, that would be more of a ideal, you know, partner, because he knows the organization. The organization knows him. So it seems like that would work well if you're trying to negotiate some type of deal to move up from 11 to 3. But here may be a slight problem in this. The Atlanta Falcons at 8. Atlanta still wants – I know they drafted a quarterback last year. I don't know if they're high on that quarterback or not. But there were rumors that they could possibly be in the market for Lamar Jackson. And maybe that still can be the case. So, obviously, they are looking for a quarterback. It's not a necessary high need, but they if they can get a guy that can fit what they're doing and could be the guy for the next 10, 15 years, if they got an opportunity to get him, I think, like the Titans, they would. So, watch the 8th pick with the Atlanta Falcons. If Atlanta jumps in here, then the price for that 3rd pick goes up. There's no team behind the Tennessee Titans, I think, would move, try to move up to that 3rd spot because it would just cost them too much. But I think if that 3rd pick is on the table to be gotten, watch the Atlanta Falcons and the Tennessee Titans to try to move up to get their quarterback.
I think the Raiders, that's something, another team that Daniel Jeremiah threw out there. I think the Raiders could be another one. The Raiders take it 7. They have Jimmy G, but Jimmy G is not their quarterback of the future. I can't see them holding on to Jimmy G beyond 2 or 3 years. The Raiders could be another organization that's looking for their certified quarterback of the future and who they can count on for the next 5, 8, 10 years. Because I think that's also what Josh McDaniels wants. He wants to bring his guy in. And I understand that Jimmy G is kind of his guy.
Jimmy G is, yeah, he is his guy. But
he wants his guy of the future. But you bring up a fair point. The price of the 3rd overall pick. Carolina gave up this year's one, next year's one, a second round pick this year, and a second round pick in 2025, plus DJ Moore. So 2 firsts, 2 seconds, and a really solid player to go from 9 to 1. What would the Titans have to give up, and would it be worth it? We'll get into that coming up next. And I see your phone calls were those to those next as well. 615-737-1025. Caroline Willie DeMays, 1025-1063. The game. Nashville's best deal of the week is from Hotworks in Goodlettsville. Open 24-7 in their infrared virtually LED sauna classes. Choose from Hot Cycle, Hot Blast, Hot Thunder, Hot Yoga, Hot Bar None, and so much more. And right now, join for just $39 in time for the grand opening April 1st. That's $60 off at thegamenashville.com/deals. Get more workout and less time at Hotworks. Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks, both NFL insiders, on their Move the Sticks podcast, said that they had been hearing that the Titans are exploring trading up from 11 to that number 3 spot. And we can all agree it's for a quarterback. I think that's a given. That's obvious. So what would the Titans have to leverage or give up in order to go from 11 to 3? Carolina, to go from 9 to 1, gave up 2 firsts, 2 seconds, and DJ Moore, who's a certified starting wide receiver in the league. If that was the asking price to go from 11 to 3, I'm good. I'm not willing to give up 2 firsts, 2 seconds, and a player, whether that's a Derrick Henry, whether that's a Kevin Byard. I'm not willing to do that. What I would be willing to do, if you want to go from 11 to 3 and get that quarterback of the future, and I think in that scenario also, the Titans would have to like at least 3 quarterbacks in this year's draft in order to go from 11 to 3 in good faith to take their quarterback. I would give up, obviously, 11. I would give up a 1st next year. I would give up a 2nd, and that's probably it. 2 firsts and a 2nd.
See, this is what it comes down to, is really, how many other teams are calling for that pick? Right? Are you competing with other people?
Probably so.
This is what we were talking about with the Packers and the Jets. The Jets know that nobody else is in the game for Aaron Rodgers. Nobody. So they can sit back. That's what's happening right now. It's a waiting game. Now, if there's 2 or 3 teams that are calling Arizona and Monty Austin Ford about that pick, that changes the game, right? You got to outbid. So where are you willing to go? And Derek, you said it. I mean, at the end of the day, in 5 years, I don't think you're too worried about it if you gave up an extra second round pick or an extra third round pick to get the guy that you want, as long as that guy turns out to be who you think he's going to be.
Yeah.
So that's one way to look at it. It's like Tanner Janot, the trade to the Lightning. A lot of teams were competing and calling the Predators about Tanner Janot. The Lightning really didn't have any players to trade. The Lightning basically said, we're trying to win this year. We want Tanner Janot for this team. Try to win one more cup, two more cups, whatever, while we're in this window. We don't care how many picks. Let's throw in five picks. You know, that's what they did. Oh, you want Cal Foot too? All right, we'll throw in Cal Foot. Just whatever it takes. So they outbid other teams, and that was to the Predators' benefit. So do you want to do that if you're the Titans? Because that is a very important question. This is a team that's short in a lot of areas, a little short on cap space. They need help. And keeping the draft picks, those are big assets. That's how you fortify your roster. If you're going to give up two or three picks, prime picks, first, second, third rounders, you better hit on that quarterback.
Yeah, you need to.
You're only moving up eight spots.
Yeah, and is that eight spots worth, what did they give up again? Two firsts, two seconds,
and DJ Moore.
And DJ Moore.
That's a haul, and that was to move up eight spots as well. Yeah. But also to get to the number one.
Yeah, it's getting
different.
To number one. In that number one spot, it means a lot more than a number two, number three, or whatever.
Absolutely.
So it's going to take you that extra or two to get to that spot with that third pick. And see, the good thing for the Titans is they're not out of – they're right on the edge of a top 10 pick. And they – Arizona may feel, or the Titans may feel, if they, you know, they figure out, okay, these are the players that Arizona may be looking at, or Arizona may look at as a, you know, we still may get our guy at number 11. So you're still not outside of that bubble where you can't get the guy that you want, looking at the teams ahead of you and what they could potentially, you know, need for their team and their pick. So that may work in the Titans' favor. But again, it goes back to the Las Vegas Raiders. What will they jump in the game and try? Because if there's nobody but the Titans that are playing in this game with Arizona, then I think they don't have to give up as much. But the minute a second team jumps in, especially a team like the Raiders who are already within that top 10, if they jump in, now the price goes up. Because now we have two teams wanting to get to where we're at. But if it's just the Titans, a first this year, you know, the swapping of the picks, maybe a first next year, and possibly, you know, a third. And if you want to throw a player in there, and this may be controversial, but if you're throwing a player in there, if you throw Derrick Henry in there, then I think that evens out everything. Because I think Arizona does need a powerful running back that can take the load off of Kyler Murray. And just think, they won't have, more than likely, they won't have Hopkins next year either. So they're going to need to fall back on their running game. Connor's pretty good, but he's no Derrick Henry. You add Derrick Henry to the mix with a first round and a second rounder, I think that sort of evens out the playing field to try to move up to third. That's if no one else is in the game. Now, if someone else is in the game trying to move up, now the price goes up.
The negotiations change.
Exactly.
From there.
Absolutely.
And I know Daniel Jeremiah mentioned the Titans and the Raiders, but there's a team in there that I cannot shake that is looking at Arizona's potential negotiations with trading out of the third overall pick. And I think that they're hoping that it doesn't happen, or they're at least hoping to dodge it, and that's the Indianapolis Colts. Mm-hmm. The Colts want a quarterback, and I know that they've kind of been tossed around and potentially being the Lamar Jackson sweepstakes, but that's something that I think Jim Mersey has made very clear, is they want to find their next quarterback. They want their next Peyton Manning. They want their next Andrew Luck. They don't want to keep getting on the quarterback carousel every single year. I think Indianapolis wants their quarterback this year. Being at four, you don't get to be very choosy. If Arizona stays at three, they're not drafting a quarterback. They'll probably find another position of need. I don't know what Arizona needs. But you would probably assume quarterbacks, 1-2. Mm-hmm. Arizona takes whatever they need. There, that would leave Indianapolis with either a Will Levis or an Anthony Richardson, or maybe something crazy happens, like Anthony Richardson gets taken first overall, then Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud, one of those two, doesn't get taken by the Texans, then they fall. So I think that Indianapolis is feeling maybe a little uneasy in that number four spot, knowing that they need a quarterback and that there are going to be only four quarterbacks available. They probably won't have a lot of options, and they probably don't want a quarterback-needy team to come in at three.
Well, I mean, we also got to watch, and you're right, but we also got to watch the Ursay and Jackson.
Yeah.
You know, that whole deal. But another thing, it would be beneficial to the Tennessee Titans if the Arizona Cardinals make a trade for Hopkins before the draft or draft day, because now Arizona gets more draft capital. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think that would help the Titans because now this is a team that has totally moved away from, you know, sort of what they were, a passing team. Now they've accumulated picks, and maybe they don't need, they're trying to get it, but maybe they don't need as much as one may think they do, or they may not want as much as we may think they want. You know, if you're going to give it to them, yeah, they'll take it. Mm-hmm. But if the Titans came to them after the trade of D-Hop, if the Titans came to them say, hey, listen, we'll swap picks with you, give you our number one for next year, which isn't a bad thing, because who's to say the Titans? I don't think the Titans are going to be bad enough to pick in the top 10 next year anyway.
That's what we talked about a lot yesterday,
yeah,
right?
They're not going to get their quarterback.
That's a central question, mm-hmm. is where, in your mind, where are you? If you're going to go down this road, where are you in the competitive rebuild, mm-hmm. versus full rebuild, right? Or somewhere in between. Like, it's not a – like, if you were trying to build the best team only for next year, then you might not even look at a quarterback with your first pick. You might just say, I need the best player that I can get at 11, and let's do X, Y, Z. But if you're looking for the quarterback, you're somewhere in the – look, we got to look down the road here. We're looking at 2026. We're looking at our new stadium. We've got an aging quarterback as it is. So if you're on that platform, how far are you willing to go? Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's a central question when, yeah. you try to decide what you're willing to give up for that pick if you're in that game.
And that is a difficult game to be in, because if the Titans are in the mindset of, we'll do whatever it takes. Like, we love at least three quarterbacks in this year's draft, and we'll do whatever it takes to get one of them. Then you'd be more willing to deal either the players or the picks. If the Titans are like, look, hey, maybe come draft day, maybe we're not willing to make any sort of move right now, but come draft day, Anthony Richardson gets taken first overall, mm-hmm. there's going to be a run on that third overall pick.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Arizona can sit back and say, let all the offers come in, because now C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young are both available, and one of them is going to be available at number three. Mm-hmm. Maybe the Titans hold back until draft day. C.J. Stroud's taken one, and they're like, okay, but Houston's probably going to take Bryce Young. Those are really the only two quarterbacks that we liked. We'll stay put at 11, mm-hmm. or we'll start taking offers for 11, trade back, maybe find a receiver. I wouldn't be surprised if that's how it plays out as well, just to see what happens with Carolina in that first, mm-hmm. overall pick and who's available or who would be available at three.
I'm telling you, if Anthony Richardson goes number one, the Titans need to do whatever is possible to move up to that third spot. They do. Because now you have a chance at two, as we sit right now, two franchise quarterbacks, guys that have proven they can play, and C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young. You can get one of the two at that third pick. I think you do whatever it takes without giving up everything. Mm-hmm. If it costs you this year's first and next year's first,
do it.
And then a second, do it. Because these are the two best quarterbacks. Regardless of what Carolina did, they drafted a quarterback that they felt was the best quarterback. But the consensus, more than likely, is C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young are the two best quarterbacks in this year's draft. So if you got an opportunity to get one of those guys, as the Titans, you got to do whatever it is to move up to that third spot, if indeed that is what transpires.
Let's get your thoughts on it. If the Titans did decide to trade up to number three, what would your reaction be? And if you were Rand Carthon, put your GM shoes on, Would you make that move? Your thoughts coming up next. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. And hey, you can join 102.5, The Game for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament benefiting Souls for Souls on June 7th at Hermitage Golf Course. Put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebrities to support a great cause and have loads of fun doing it. Plus, you'll have the chance to win awesome prizes, so sign up today, sponsor, or donate at thegamenashville.com/golf. Unless we have thoughts?
Let's go to the phones.
Let's do it.
To the phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have a thought, Chris is on the line. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Caroline. The old buddy tells the truth.
What's going on, Chris?
Hey, and D-Mace, how you doing? Willie, so let's put it like this. For number three, the only people you're moving up number three for is Stroud or Young, because they are the most consistent. And if Anthony Richardson happens to go number one, or I will say if Bryce Young goes number one, you move heaven and earth to go get number three. And this is why. If Anthony Richardson goes number one, it's no-brainer. You go to three, you go to get it at three. But if Bryce Young is there, goes at one, the Texans really, from all accounts, and this probably is wrong, they don't really want Stroud. They really want Young. So Stroud could be there at three as well. So I think you move heaven and earth to go to three if Stroud or Young is going to be available at three. And Monty Ossenfort might work with you better than other teams, since you already have that relationship in the past. Monty Ossenfort formerly working for the organization. So that could be an added advantage for the Titans as well.
Yeah, thanks for your call, Chris. Always great to hear from you. Appreciate you. I think the Monty Ossenfort aspect of it can't be ignored.
No, I agree. Do you guys agree with him? Because I am not a guy that has done – I'm not a talent evaluator, mm-hmm. right? But I look at the age – I look at what I saw with my own eyes, and I tend to lean with him on I'd be willing to really put something forth for Stroud or Young, mm-hmm. more so than Levis or Richardson. Do you guys agree with that premise? I mean,
yes,
that's just me from the outside. I'm not a scout. I'm anything like that.
From what we've seen of these four guys in college, not necessarily the measurables and, you know, the height. And
right. There's age, there's production, there's what we've seen.
It starts and it ends. And I heard Riddick say this morning. He was absolutely right. We can talk about how big a guy is, how fast he runs, how strong his arm is. But at the end of the day, how is he from an accuracy standpoint? Is he an accurate quarterback? That's what you – can he put the ball in spots that he need to put it in at this level? If that is indeed, which I do believe, if that's indeed this should be the end-all, be-all, which I believe it should be, your accuracy and a few more things, but as far as the height and speed, no, put that to the side. If that is indeed – the central thing. Only two guys have shown us that are going to be picked that high, and that's Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud. And he's right. If those two guys are available, and we said it last segment, if those two guys are available, if they choose to pick Anthony Richardson at number one,
you move heaven and earth.
You do whatever you need to do to move up. Now, if Stroud gets picked number one or Bryce Young gets picked number one, if you believe that Will Levis or Anthony Richardson, because if Stroud goes, then Bryce Young is going next. But if you believe one of those two quarterbacks can lead your franchise into victories and championships, then you do what you need to move up to that spot. It's how you feel about that guy, not how we feel about him. We may not like – I don't like Anthony Richardson necessarily more than I like Will Levis. I don't. I think they're both like one does something a little bit better than the other. But at the end of the day, I think they're both sort of You know, there would be, if I got him at third, so be it. If I got the other guy at third, so be it. But it's what the Titans think about these guys.
And that's the key.
Yep.
Because for me, there are three quarterbacks in the draft that I don't need convincing of.
Uh-huh.
Stroud, Bryce Young, and Hendon Hooker.
Exactly.
I am not quite sure about Will Levis and Anthony Richardson. They both struggled this past season. I still need to be convinced about those two. But to your point, D-Mace, matter what I think,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not a quarterback evaluator. It's like, go back to the 2017 draft. Everyone couldn't stop talking about Mitch Trubisky, that he was going to be the next greatest gift to football. And Mitch Trubisky went at number 2 overall in that year's draft behind Myles Garrett. And then everyone thought the Chiefs were crazy to trade up to pick this guy from Texas Tech named Patrick Mahomes. And we've seen how that kind of turned out, because Andy Reid saw something in him, and I was like, I need him. I need that guy. So it doesn't matter what I think, and it doesn't matter what the draft gurus think. If Rand Carthon has evaluated Anthony Richardson, and he was at his pro day yesterday, which is what mm-hmm. I want to get into coming up next. He was at his pro day yesterday, and he's like, I mean, this guy, like, he has things that you just can't coach. He has things that you don't see come around very often. And he thinks that that's your quarterback of the future, you have to do it. I'm not convinced about mm-hmm. him, doesn't matter what I think.
But it's all about, too, the structure around that particular quarterback. Again, we can go back years. David Carr, he goes into a situation with the Houston Texans, and that was bad for him. They were not set up to win,
mm-hmm.
and he did not do well at all, and it just crushed everything about him as a quarterback. You look at, you know, you can go down a line with certain quarterbacks. You can look at, you know, if you Oakland drafts when they were the Oakland Raiders,
Jamarcus Russell.
They draft Jamarcus Russell. Ooh, was that Taylor? Was that a great fit for him? Probably not. It probably wasn't a great fit for him. So when you draft these quarterbacks, you better have a structure in place to make sure you can maximize the potential. People thought last year that Trevor Lawrence, under Urban Meyer, he almost destroyed that quarterback because the infrastructure around him wasn't good. The coaches were not good. They were not suitable for that for Trevor Lawrence. And then come Doug Peterson the next year, and what happens? Now everybody's like, that's the quarterback that we saw at Clemson. So whoever falls to the Titans, if indeed they move up to number 3, I think if it's Anthony Richardson or Will Levis, I think they will be good here. Why? Because I think they have the structure around this organization to make sure, because he wouldn't have to start day one. He wouldn't have to start this year. Why? They got Ryan Tannehill. You're not our starter. The other guy, you sit back, watch, learn. You may have to sit back for 2 years, and it might be beneficial for Anthony Richardson. Just like if he gets drafted number 1. They don't need him to start day one in Carolina. He can sit behind Andy Dalton. Now, that season may not be great, but he gets an opportunity to learn, watch, sit, prepare himself mentally and physically. You come to the Titans, one of those two quarterbacks, it would be the same thing. The structure around those young quarterbacks, whether it's Will Levis or Richardson, it would be great for them. Why? Because they don't have to come in and be a day one starter. Hell, they might not even start the second year.
And two, I think, look at the Titans' situation. They're in a wonderful situation where they can still be a competitive team
mm-hmm.
with their first-round pick quarterback sitting on the bench.
Exactly.
Whereas, and you can learn that quarterback that you draft, whether it's Stroud, Levis, Richardson, whoever it might be, they can learn from a player that's been a starter in the league for, you know, however long it's been that Ryan Tannehill's been in the league, a player that's gotten his team to the playoffs, has been competitive in the playoffs, versus Indianapolis, and this is no knock on Gardner Minshew, but he just doesn't have the rapport in the NFL or the experience in the NFL that, say, a Ryan Tannehill does. Mm-hmm. You might not be able to pick up as much from a Gardner Minshew or learn as much from a Gardner Minshew just given his experience. That's no disrespect to Gardner Minshew. He's a fine quarterback. It's just different.
Mm-hmm.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. So let's say they do. They trade up to number 3 and the Titans get their quarterback of the future. Who would that quarterback be? Anthony Richardson had his pro day yesterday, and TD tried to convince all of us to think how he feels about Anthony Richardson, because he just absolutely loves Anthony Richardson. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.